Well, matter of fact, Jack Dempsey, he was once a hobo on. I was in New York when he had that Midnight Club on Broadway. In 1938, he gave a hobo party regards to race, creed, or color. If you done retired like he was and got rich, anything you invited. Well, it took me that year. I was taking care of two buildings for moving forward, so I wasn't letting it. But I looked at it on TV. They had the big watch part like grandma used to boil in. They had the mullet stew and they had the cigarette butts. Thank you. Is it straight?
Yeah.
This really ain't what I want, but it's good.
It'll do, right?
Water. Yeah, now you see, that's very familiar to me. I've jumped over freight and skinned up my knees on them in them rocks.
Yeah.
Well, when I meet the wrong railroad detector.
Uh-oh.
All right, boy, get off. Get off, dude, I'll shoot.
Right, let's make a fine train station right here.
That happened to me in a Kronach called Ohio. I was holding the nickel plate. I held the nickel plate down from Fort Wayne, Indiana. And it didn't stop in Cleveland. I was in Cleveland. Cleveland, big city, didn't look good. But she pulled up in Kronach, Ohio. It must have been doing about 20 miles an hour. And that's too much to get off. And old Kronach swim with them 245. All right, boy, get on. I shoot. And a little white boy, he skidded his knee. Well, I got off. And no hobo learned me how to fall. I just fell from the boxcar and fell in the ditch, rolled in the ditch. And another one in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Big rain. We was talking that freight, and he come there and say, get all my freight to jump in the river. So we got the freight. And then I went to Fort Wayne, Indiana. And that evening I caught the CNEI. That's Chicago and Eastern Illinois. And put him down at Vincent Junction. Then caught the Big Four in Pennsylvania and got into Cincinnati at 12 o'clock that night. I tell you, it was some experience. Well, I had more good days over when I had bad days. I had one bad in my first year, 1931. I went in the way called Georgia Sleep. That cost me 4 months hard labor on the chain gang. I got on. You think that's done? Well, still the coastline, I got seaboard when I got on. I never missed the coastline no more. The seaboard, the Georgia Central, the Georgia and Florida, the CNER, the LNN. Now that's my train. I leave Miami and I blind a passenger and get off at South Jacksonville and walk up to St. John River. Then I have my overall suit on and I'm getting a bunch with them expressmen, you know. Now, just kept that passenger train to get around the first blind. River Junction, that was the seaboard road, then heading in back over to New Orleans, Pensacola. Then from there, to the Alabama line, then on in to Montgomery, then the Big Ham. Yeah, that's Big Yard, Boys Yard. And they be cooking, you know, white and black over there, boiling. You know, I did a dirty thing to a hobo. He done boiled his black eyes, you know. And he said, hobo, watch my pot of black eyes. He went to some bread. Another freight was coming. Now, I'm going to leave a pot of black eyes. In about 2 months, I was in New York in the pool room, you know. And he said, yeah, if you don't believe I'm a hobo, ask that gentleman there where my pot of peas. We had a big laugh, buddy. But I enjoyed it.
Okay.
And I'm trying to write a book of it.
Yeah.
But I hobo 10 years and hitchhiked 12.
Yeah.
And, World War II stopped. Our country went in the war, I think it was December the 9th, 1941. So, about a week to Christmas, caught the subway, uptown, a nickel, get to 23rd Street and pay 3 cents in Rotterfield in Georgia City. And I'm getting ready to blind, getting ready to catch a bridge, and I met a long, tall, smiling soldier with a rifle bedding on, just wishing to smile. He said, "Well, when the man army, I'll join you going to Florida." He said, "But I got to walk you back to the border." He said, "Have a seat." He said, "I've got 8 hours and I don't mind keep walking you back." So I went on back to New York. Stayed after 43 that I went down and starved, and I caught the green army. But we had to ride to ride to local. It took me 4 days to get to Jacksonville from New York. But I enjoyed it. Everywhere the Greyhound stopped, I'd find some moonshine. I'd give you some moonshine and eat, and I had a good time that morning. Yeah, no, no. I'm trying to write a book on that old boy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Are
you going to be playing with it later on?
Huh?
Are you going to be doing something with it later on?
Well, I come to look at the Gandy Dam.
Who's
yeah, we done did our show, man.
Oh, already did?
I come to look at the Gandy Dam. I've got to dance a little myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well, you have a good one.
I mean, they got that fixed up just like the East Coast, and them rocks.
Yeah, I guess too.
Paul, when you fall in them rocks off of free, I'm telling you, you was good. Oh, I run into some mean railroad detectives.
I guess they work with
slaves. And run into some good ones.
Yeah. I guess they use different kinds of ballast in different parts of the country, do they?
Hmm?
Different kinds of the ballast, of the gravel. Are these like granite here? Like some places they use like slate.
Hmm.
Different kind of.
No. That's why I tell the little kids to stay in school. You see those tools we used to use? And I work hard, 30 of us in a gang, understand that. And that's when they're building a seaboard from Wildwood to Miami. We slept in the cam car. They have all of us out there getting asthma now. One young man that went to school is sitting up in a $1 million machine building. So that's why I tell him to stay in school and get them paid. You see, in 1925, the big land boom come on. And them contractors are cleaning up that land. They was paying $7 for everybody black man you get to their field. And we use grubbing holes and axes, but no more. This man say, "I want 100. This man say, "I want 50. All he need now is one man with education. He's selling that machine, and he do more than one day, and 50 of us could do it above. So that's why they better stay in school. And I mean, every time you read away the cutting them off. That Pratt & Whitney, that's all close to me in West Palm Beach. They laying off a bunch of people. See, you know, the post office, all over. It done had 3 or 4 shooting in the post office. Man couldn't take it.
Yeah.
Our president, he got his hand full.
When did you start performing?
1946.
Yeah. You just picking up yourself?
No, I went to New York to be a drummer. But I run into this famous fella, run that little short chick here about that high. And he was the greatest jazz drummer in the world. And, run to Joe Jones, or run to Gene Krupa, and run to all them. So I said, "Well, I'll go in another field." So I used to do a little comedy. So a young man coming to the bar where I was working at with one washboard, and a lot of little tops on it. The top hat, he said he made a lot of money. So I said, like this, I said, "We want to be the best, get something different." So I put two together and went down my street, Chinatown, and got the bill. Those two washboards there, I bought them in 1979. But the original washboard, I did a benefit in 1991 in California. And when it got back, they fell to pieces. So imagine I got them. So those, I'd had them in storage. So I just took the bells off and put on them. You know. And I love it. And I can make the people love it.
Washboard Bill has been looking for you.
Hello.
Names
Those two didn't go to 12.
I have it.
Yeah. That's why you hardly ever see a man with
pants.
They all look like
Jason, let's go check out how
they look. Ah, boy. You know, this one's exactly what I want, but it's good for me.
We're going to go look at I don't think you serious in a minute.
What's the other?
See, I'm going to think you serious in a minute.
And do you know what fish do in that stuff?
Huh?
Do you know what fish do in that stuff?
This is the best drink in the world, water. But I like that color, all right. You see, gin is that color, and moonshine that color.
It's an instrument. I want to see you play it. I missed your performance. I thought you were
going to
perform over here.
No,
I thought you were
going to
perform over here.
We don't entertain us. It's two white fellas, they wait for me to get the also. I won't entertain no more till tomorrow.
Oh.
The next day. I done did my day's work.
You don't?
Yeah, the old man done did his day's work. We had a half hour with him.
You're not going to give us just a little bit? Today, where they
read? Tomorrow, another half hour. And Sunday, that'll be it. And I'll head for that West Palm Beach. Which I hope. Oh, one day, before I get through, I'll be moving there.
You want to move from Palm Beach? Where you want to move to?
Well, get out that neighborhood. I've got a very bad neighborhood. They broke my place about a month ago in the daytime. I was in Lake Worth getting my banjo ukulele.
Are you off
the and so I left. I just locked the door. And I just brought the little things that I've taken before, understand? Like my raisin, and my clippers, and my candy, and I had my dollar bottle of scotch. I brought that. I was out of here. I drink the juice, and I drank the last of my beer. After taking all my valuables, they went in the refrigerator, took the last can of beer, took my grapefruit. I brought my flashlight, they take that and had to buy it up. So I just load up and brought the things so now if they want to go in there, they want to take that old TV and that bedroom suit, they're welcome to it. And I left some collard greens for you.
Left them something to eat. You want to sit down?
Hmm?
You want to sit down?
Well, that wouldn't hurt.
We met these brothers yesterday.
Yeah. Yes, sir. The way y'all dress is making me homesick. I worked on my first railroad in 26. It's Center Hill. Center Hill, Florida. They were running the seaboard from Wildwood to Miami. And all that summer, we had camp cars in Center Hill. We get $3 a day, and we take out 45 cents for gold. We have 2.5 left. And rat calls,
my friend is close as your finger.
The juke joint. If we get out check cash, I will check on the ceiling like about 8 o'clock in the morning. And I will form a camp Will Warner. And I said, well, I'm going to Bush. So everybody took out Bush and left with one man, and the way he's going to look. Yeah. Next Saturday, we all go to Bushes. Yeah. Well, I enjoyed that summer. It wasn't on the way around.
Yeah, I remember right away from San Francisco, when Farmer Bill Hunt, the farmer got to about million in the bush. And the other boys were then over the railroad in the bush. I told my house, somebody got to get out on the railroad, so we got that train to be around in the
Now, the other part of 26, the Florida East Coast had that double track that time, 522 miles long. And 7 miles from Fort Pence was a contractor by the name of Reed and Lewis.
Yeah. They had the contract. You remember? Well, let me tell you something. And East Coast Charlie was cruising hands on Jacksonville. And East Coast Charlie and I was left 21. And we was getting $3.50 a day and three meals and had to fight mosquitoes all night. Now, I was a young fella, I was going to make a week anyway, but I couldn't make for 3 days. We had to fight the mosquitoes. Now, mosquito shorty, we didn't have no money to give him. He bypassed our bunk house. And we had to fight mosquitoes all night. And we're getting $3.50 and had them mean phones out there. All right, boy, all right, let's go. You get $3.50. Fight mosquitoes all day in 3 days. And caught East Coast Charlie and went back to Jacksonville. And then he cruised him to Tampa. They went to the cruise line, and guess what they had? You got to wait. You got to wait 4 weeks before you can draw two.
Yeah, that's right. When I first went away, you had to wait 4 weeks.
Before
you can draw two.
You know what I'm talking about? I'm so glad that I could be in Old Town River. Yeah, so I had to wait 4 weeks. Yeah. But that seaboard, your time stopped. Then and soon as the time stop, time you go now. Yes, sir. Yeah. We had them little short billy shovels there in that sand. When I went to the East Coast, they had them picks. But they had rocks just like y'all got that fixed there. That reminded me.
Tapping pick.
You had to go in there with them picks.
Yes, sir.
And all of and that foreman say, all right, that boy. You're getting much as any man. Let's go. But they fed you good in them. They fed you good in them camp calls. They had them black cooks and they could burn a wall.
What would your title be?
You had good. Good ball out. That paid eco. Get this starchy eyed overalls over. That starchy eyed shirt. That jumper. Get a good seat. That's my railroad man. Charlie got me railroad man. Those were the good old days.
They are.
Yes, sir. And you remember reading those?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big contract.
Yeah.
Boy, they're paying $3.50 a day, man. I'm in
free. Any kind of
I'm just 21. I said, Lord. But them mosquitoes, and that fella just said, that was pure meanness. I told him, I said, man, on my payday come, I was just, oh no, you might be dead then. You got to fight mosquitoes. Them mosquitoes are bad too, around St. Lucie County that time. I made 3 days, and I told him, I said, I can't go to well. He said, go trade it up, went to commissary. Straight up, not called East Coast Charlie. And that coastline, I'm telling you, about 4 weeks.
You know, the coastline is the cheapest railroad in the South.
Now, I worked a little on the, I worked a little in the coals in my home, Sanford. Yeah, I worked in the coals there, you know, taking them coals out those gun doors. You know, you make many hours as you want. That was summer. That was summer 27. You get 25 cents an hour in your points. And you didn't have no boss. Your boss was them cars. He put them boss up on top of the chute. Right. Man come by and see the night empty. You know what you're doing.
Yeah, you
know what you're doing. And that was all right. But then, again, in my home, you had to wait 4 weeks. 4 weeks before you draw two.
How much is getting paid back then?
Good old railroad days.
How much you was getting paid? What the pay was?
Now I was in West Palm Beach.
I worked 10 hours.
And I'm looking at him putting on a cross.
$10 an hour? I mean, $1?
One young man set up that big $1 million machine.
For 10 hours. That's $1 a day.
They had.
Yeah, I worked 14 days.
They had white and one black.
$14.
That machine go, that's how I got my own food. I couldn't talk to nobody the one old time. I said, look at that. I said, look at that. You get it, man.
And since the railroad done got so easy.
You had a contract.
No.
But yeah.
Yes, sir. You caught them on one hand.
Well, I quit.
We had to get out of there.
When you
it was all black.
Well,
I was
the thing that changed was that the people considered that to be hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking against that. You aren't supposed to do hard work. So this being hard work, or looked like it was hard, they decided, well, no, I'm not going to do this. And not understanding, when you went to the railroad, the work that you did, and the work that, when I went to the railroad, see, at 17 years old,
mm-hmm.
And we would hire 10 men every morning. Well, by 12 o'clock, you might have one left. See? And most of them would have quit. Or they never did tell them, you know, tell the foreman they was quitting. They said, I'm going down here to the bushes. And you didn't see them again. Or they said, well, I'm going to get a drink of water. And you didn't see him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
See? Well, he snuck on off and he would sneak off. See, well, you take, see the work that we did, and we would do now, you might say, and I watched some railroad crew work. We did more in a week, in one day, than it would take them to do a week, except that they have all the machinery. See, now they can travel faster, but also I'm finding through observation that machine, in certain instances, in certain locations, can't do that trackage like that man could, especially in a soft spot. And see, that machine has no feeling, no human feeling about it. It's just going along at a set pace. It's going along, it's set a certain way. But that man actually got the feel of what he was doing. And yes, he could detect the roadbed, you know. It takes 10 years for a roadbed set up.
And you two buckets.
No. Or the machine comes along. The machine doesn't know that. So he can't feel the soft spots in that roadbed. But you could.
Now you take, Houston used to be the potato capital, and this farmer say I need 100 pickles, they come from Georgia all around. This farmer say I need 75, I need 50. Now they got one man, they got one young fellow that went to school on that machine. And the last time I checked the field, the last potatoes I worked in was 63. I was working in Washington, then I was working in the wash house. So I took a ride out to the field, and I look at this, young man set up on that machine, and he has a black on this side and a black on that side, taking the bags off, putting them on the truck. No, don't need no more hunters. And I mean, black people made good money picking up potatoes. The bigger your family was, the more money you made.
Well,
now the same way with that grubbing. You see, I went to a 1925, that land boom, and they was paying $7 for every hill body black bag to get to their field. This man said, well, I need 100. And the less you got in 25 was 50 cents a day, 50 cents an hour. And so this man got 100, this man got 50. All needs one man now to sit on that machine. And they call it grubbing no more. Land clearing. We had old fashioned grubbing holes, the old axe.
The first thing we on the railroad, see, when they upgraded or brought the machine to the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anytime machine, its purpose for being there is to decrease the labor.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, there are so many other factors, say, in today's knowledge. See, when we went to the railroad, see, that was you hadn't heard of anything like health insurance and all this is involved. Well, that increases the cost per hour, the cost or per day cost to the company. Now, so that machine comes in,
and pulled it up out there.
See, And that machine eliminates that, you might say.
This machine, like I tell you, kid, y'all stay in school. I didn't get time. I didn't get to go to school, but I loaded the school around. I made a living. But no more of that. No, sir. The machine took the coins out your hand and put them on your body.
Well, technology always does that.
In Orange speaking, that was big around my home, Sanford, Pocahontas, all there. They got blown. They blew the oranges out of the tree. We go to bed, pick them up. Oh, boy, this machine, this automation, as they call it. But I will never forget the good old days. Now, the alien end, that's my favorite train of hobo, no trouble.
Yeah.
I went all the way to the end of the line from New Orleans to Covington, Kentucky.
They loved you after that.
Yeah.
That's my favorite line. Only when you got to Flemington, Junction, Alabama, one hand killing, he would tell you, look, don't ride my merchandise, you bums. He told all of them, Kevin told them it was. Don't ride my merchandise, take the local. You want to ride the fast freight, you wait till I get off at 12 o'clock. Who made it to me? And other than that, I just ride up and down. Catch it in River Junction, Florida, or Pensacola. Long and jump.
I knew what that was.
Get off at Birmingham and go have it all 18 and 4.
They put another boy.
Yeah, right.
You see,
the
ice
run out.
L&N. You see, where I was real, there was a crossroad railroad.
So the man let you keep getting
out? You had L&N, Southern, Frisco, Illinois Central, the SIBO, and the Birmingham Southern. All crossed there because the steel mills, see, were just beyond us, and they all serviced the steel mills. So being there around that crossing, that allowed me to see all of them.
And,
you know, become familiar with all of them, different railroad companies. Now, I could never hope to do no hoboing myself.
Being old?
I said, no, I never did do any hoboing.
Huh?
I said, I couldn't do no hoboing because I don't expect I'd be here today if I hoboed. My mama probably would have done did away with me.
I don't know nothing about
Yeah. Well, Waycross stopped me from messing with the coastline. I went to Waycross sleep in the coastline. I went in there like the 14th of August. And I got out there the 1st of December. I got off that chick as it went. Could be 4 months hardly. I didn't buy that coastline. But
I was found the coastline.
What the train you buy yourself?
Mm-hmm. I had two sisters.
Oh, boy, we rolling in there, and I see five flashlights and 545. Five of us in there, four boys in Jacksonville.
Really?
All right, boys, get out one at a time. If you're running,
you
break a leg.
No, I was all the boys.
I just put me in my hobo. My family didn't care to think about it. And I tried to be a drunk that way, so. A young fella from Birmingham, like out of hobo, I just like it. That makes me forget about all my family treatment. And I get off the freight and I meet a family. And the people so nice in this family. The lady would say, I'll say, miss, I'm on the road, I'll cut some wood. So, coming in, son. I got a son somewhere on the road, somebody will be doing that for me. So, I just enjoyed it. Just stepped that course out.
What's that call on your son?
Yeah, I'm kind of hard again, but
that's ukulele.
What are you talking about?
That's me. That was painted.
He had a fan club.
Yeah, that was painted. And I had a ukulele club. So I played a little ukulele too.
What does a ukulele look like? I don't know instruments.
And a young man painted both of them. Well, that was painted in 1982 when I was doing a benefit in West Palm Beach.
Will, what does a ukulele look like?
The thing you call a little guitar, that little bit of instrument like that one.
Come on, ukulele?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Now, what's the difference between that and a fiddle? A fiddle is about that long, too, isn't
it? Big difference. Ukulele, that's something smaller than short.
Yeah, they broke in on me about 5 weeks ago, and I had two in there. Cost $201. They got one. And I left me with one.
I bet they don't even know what to do with them.
I tried to buy one for this group, but these fellas won't do that.
They won't?
Long, yeah. We used to see some guitar pickers in the little things of North Carolina, Texas, Mississippi.
Yeah.
Boy, you see. And they used to use that old bottleneck.
Yeah,
on the finger.
Take this boy down there, B.B. King.
Yeah.
He's the king of the blues.
Mm-hmm, from Mississippi.
Yeah, he started right there in Mississippi.
Yeah.
B.B. King did?
Yeah,
he's from Mississippi.
Oh, I didn't know.
Willie Dixon, he died. He's from Mississippi.
Yeah.
And the Cook family was from Mississippi. Yeah. Sam Cook's family.
Did you know John Hurt?
And Louis Rawl, he's from Mississippi.
Yeah,
we had a lot of talent out in Mississippi. Every president.
Mississippi John.
Yeah. Every president learned how to play in a black Baptist church.
Yeah, who's talking about every president? Yeah, right there in Cordova, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know Mr. Hurts.
Yeah, Mississippi turned awesome guitar player.
John Hurts, you know him?
Yeah.
Mississippi John.
Yeah, his boy died since we had. Since this was up to Lynn Park in Birmingham, he was there, and he died not long ago. He was 71 years old. He was a guitar picker, too. And he learned this by himself. And he
self-taught.
Learned off his uncle. And he got to be professional, but he wasn't like B.B. King. B.B. King was rough.
You like B.B. King?
Yeah,
me too. They put that bottleneck on their finger.
Bottleneck
on the finger.
Uh-huh. You see, Elvis, he was playing the Black Baptist Church.
Yeah.
And one Sunday, he went home with his black friend. And father didn't work all the week. He sat on the porch with that bottleneck on his finger. And Elvis was looking up at him. And Elvis ain't played no more spurs. He went on with the blues.
Yeah, see, he was looking at that fellow sitting on that porch.
He was looking up at him. Man, they could do something with that old bottleneck.
Not until 3:30.
My wife, she did. She went out for this boy, Tom Jones. Boy singing blues, Tom Jones. Mm-hmm. I said, Tom Jones can't do no singing. I said, now every president's gonna run over all of them.
Yeah.
And every president got to be a movie star.
Mm-hmm.
He just went too fast. Too fast.
And I read the story where they cut up his records in that little place in Mississippi. And he went where it was. He went to Memphis, Tennessee on Beale Street.
Yeah.
He went where the blues really was.
You were right there where it was.
And he went there and he got his start and he become the millionaire.
Yeah. Maybe they'll tell the truth.
And know who his friend was? B.B. King.
Yeah.
They was just like that.
Yeah, he come through Birmingham.
Elvis and B.B. King?
Yeah.
Elvis and B.B. King?
Yeah, they was friends.
Yeah,
and Jackie Wilson, that was another one of Elvis' friends. When this girl shot Jackie Wilson downtown on 9th Street, Elvis was in California to be by his side.
What?
Yeah, Jackie Wilson's.
And he come through Birmingham on train on the back end. And they held that train up. Them girls were riding that train. Ooh, you couldn't get to that train. Every day. He was on the way to New Orleans to go out in California. But I sure love to hear him.
And I used to.
Elvis?
I used to meet the young black fellow who was riding for Elvis. I used to meet him to the Palm Cafe in New York. He was riding for Elvis.
A black man?
Yeah, black
folk.
Oh,
yeah, he's learned off of black.
Yeah, that's right. He learned the Black Baptist Church. Barefeeted, overall, it's poor.
You remember seeing him, Will?
Huh?
You saw him?
What's he?
You saw him?
Whoever?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, many times. Many times I've seen him. I met him in New York. Yeah, the time he flew down to see about Jackie Wilson.
You saw him then?
Yeah, he come out of Harlem and come to a club run by Jewish people. The celebrities meet there every Wednesday. The Apollo Theater wasn't far from him. And here, this fella did make some money in the nightclub. Every Monday night, the star at the show, the Apollo, would come there and buy free drinks for people until the place closed. And that's where I met Evelyn, and that's where I met B.B. King. And I met Jackie Wilson there. Of course, I went to Policy Jackie, so I met Jackie there. And
about what year that was?
Hmm?
About what year was that?
Oh, that was in the 50s.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something about that. In 43 and 44, see, I was in high school, but I played in a jazz band. That the song Hound Dog, a blues singer, a black girl from Mississippi named Big Mama Maybell. She was singing Hound Dog even then. And then that was Gatemouth Moore. You know, he later on became a preacher. And
yeah,
had
but
one
Gatemouth Moore was a big liar.
Oh, yeah, he was a big liar because he owed me $400 now.
Gatemouth Moore.
My mother let me go off in the summer of 45 on the Sammy Green show. You know, they travel around, minstrel show, travel around and played with Ringling Brothers Circus and all over, you know, and the Heath shows. See, I could go and stay the summer, but I had to be back home the 1st of September. And she let me go off with Gatemouth Moore. Gatemouth then was playing on with Sammy Green out of New Orleans. And it's good, you know, it featured in Ebony in the 60s. Oh, 4/10 to Bobby Allen, the world's greatest shake dancer. See, 4/10 taught me in the 40s. See, now I'll show you how the elderly people would take. I was just a boy, 14, 15 years old. Okay. She told me that my mother was intended for looking for her to take care of me. Now, I had to stay with her. Whenever we stopped on the road, she would not allow me to stay with none of the other girls. I had to stay in the same room with her. And she would run all the other girls away from me. And she still acted as my mother. Well, how I got into that was through the boy that in 1937, when they paid off the World War II bonus. See, a boy named Mr. Swanigan, a Motor Swan, he bought his boy a trumpet. Mm-hmm. I learned to play the trumpet from Motor. Then when I went Dr. Reed, Waymond Reed, he taught a band there at the elementary school. So I learned to play the trombone and the tuba, and then I played the bass
trumpet. Oh, boy.
Then when I went to high school, I wasn't going to play one of those things.
Well, them good old days when
my mama bought me an alto saxophone.
Yeah.
I was working at the grocery store for $3 a week. And he bought me an alto saxophone, so I learned to play the saxophone, the alto, and the clarinet. Then I changed, being a wood wind instrument, I learned to play the tenor saxophone. But Morty got drafted in the Army, so he came home on a furlough. And at that particular time, he was playing with Tiny Bradshaw. Well, Erskine Hawkins.
Erskine Hawkins.
Yeah, Erskine and Tiny and Reed and the guy that's head of the Jazz Hall of Fame now. All of them were friends. So my mother let me go with Morty to Kansas City to play with Tiny Bradshaw. And that's where I met a whole lot of musicians in there.
That's right. Yeah, I was in New York when Erskine made his first appearance at the Parlor. He first was singing with the Bama State Collegian.
That's what he started in Montgomery.
Bama State Collegian.
Yeah.
And he came to the Parlor with that hot band. And everybody was calling the 20th Century Gable. I was there, and that Apollo stayed packed all day. I stayed and got the whole four shows.
But down there in the Junction,
the Hawk is in town.
When Erskine came up, you know, from back in down Bama State, when Erskine them came down there in the Junction, see, and like you said,
you know that boy got bunny.
Really?
Oh yeah.
House on Fool Street.
Uh huh.
Well, yeah. He was with Erskine.
Yeah.
All our black stars, is gonna come out of Apollo.
Yes, sir.
And that's how I got a chance to meet a lot of them.
So Will, the white people came to the Apollo back then?
Mm-hmm.
Did the white people come to the Apollo back in there?
Who?
The white people.
My goodness.
See, you know, it's something strange about music.
Yeah.
You don't know colors.
Integration.
Yeah, they come.
You don't know colors. You know, I was going to... I was going to Chicago, and that was my first time. I got on the train, and the Grand Ole Opry turned out at Nashville. Well, I always liked country and western music, because I was reared in Birmingham. I was reared in an Italian community. I learned to speak Italian before I learned to speak English.
Really?
Yeah. So, but you know.
Wait a minute. How you get in an Italian?
Birmingham was one of the most integrated places you ever seen.
Alabama?
Yes, ma'am.
They certainly try to wipe out that memory.
Well, see, being in an industrial complex, the company looking for some labor, some production, and the company established houses, camping, you know, different locations. Company don't care who stay where and what street you stay on. The company wants production. If you working in the coal mine, the company wants some coal. If you working in the oil mine, the company wants some oil. If you working in that plant, the company wants some iron. See? So they established those quarters. This is Birmingham around the outlying areas of a lot of communities. See? Okay. So it didn't matter. The company had their own law enforcement. See? It didn't matter. You see, law enforcement said, like this municipality, if that was the company's property line out there at that street, he couldn't come in here. Company got their own law enforcement.
Oh, yeah?
See? So now, if you live in Muscola, or Winona, or East Scooter, or Mugga, or Pratt City, or whatever. Now, the area where he lived now, where I was reared, was Pratt City. See? Now, that was an old prison mine.
We had a real star come out of Macon, Georgia.
It didn't make any difference. But music don't know. No, see, when I was playing, I'll show you. Now there's a place called Cumming, Alabama.
Cumming?
Yeah. Man, I went to Cumming. We used to go to Cumming every Friday night. Okay. Now, they were saying that blacks, you know, wasn't supposed to come to Cumming, but the guy would book us. We'd go to Cumming. We played in this barn, big old barn. It was all three times bigger than this tent here. And what he would do,
hey, you remember?
He would take up some line.
You remember the old black
halfway the barn.
Under the tent?
See? Now the whites danced on this side of the line. The blacks danced on this side of the line. That was until intermission. Uh-huh. Intermission, he brought in 10 jugs, gallon jugs, uh-huh, of white lightning. And he would walk down that line, and he would turn it up there like you see the Snuff Smith coming. He would turn that, see, it's a way to drink lightning out of a jug. You just don't just turn it up.
It's
not to it.
I never drunk it myself,
and
but I saw
see, you got to wrap it around
like
your hand and lay it on the back of
drunk.
Your hand here. Lay it on the back of your wrist. See, you put the thing in it, and you sort of tip that jug over, and let it lay back here. See? And then you bring up, and you take a swallow. Now he take a swallow out that jug, he put that jug over there, once that fellow over there take a swallow, you take this jug and bring that same jug over here and let him take a swallow over here, and that jug goes all the way down the line until it's empty. Then he starts another jug, the same way, until all the 10 jugs. Now when he gets about that seventh jug, everybody in there is drunk.
Lit.
See?
Smell and whiskey will make you drunker than drinking.
Then, well, I'm sure you, now, this is where the integration came about.
Yeah.
And everybody got drunk. And we had a boy named George Stewart play the piano. He played piano blues. And George would play the blues, and he played the piano, you know, the piano, man, he could make piano talk. Then, once that music started after that animation, you didn't know who, everybody, wasn't on line. Everybody did. But, you know, I have some interesting things that happened, you know, in my childhood. So, see, being reared in the community, all of, we were the only small children, say, growing children like you children in the community. Next door was a school teacher, Mrs. Wolfhoff, and her husband was a barber. They were black. But around behind us on the side stayed the Mackies. They were prize fighters. And they had one sister named Gertrude. Now all of my playmates were Italian. Even today I talk to, you know, several of them now. And but the only somebody I knew, you know, in my age bracket, say then, was Sam, Carlos, Charles, Nick, and when your mother left home, she carried you across the street to their house. When she left home or went to the store, you know, they brought Nick and them across the street to our house. See? And see, I said the times predicted that. Everybody was struggling. See, and it's only the good times when folks get sophisticated, you know, and get up on themselves. But that was a common crisis. See? And the common crisis was everybody's trying to survive. So I didn't know anybody. I learned Italian, how to speak Italian from them. Okay. Now, when I was 6 years old, when we were going to the movie, they booked up the train tracks to the movie. And when they told me I had to go upstairs, I didn't understand that. See, I was 6 years old, and I didn't understand it. See? So after they told me that, I wouldn't go upstairs. Well, I ran in the theater and hid. Well, they had to turn the lights on to find me in there, because I was the funniest to see. See? So when they found me, then they had a beat cop up there. Everybody knew him in the neighborhood named John Henry. John Henry asked me, whose boy was I? I said, whose boy are you? What's your mama's name? I said, Kelly. What's your daddy's name? My dad named Seabright. He said, well, you can't go on the show with these boys no more. See? Mm-hmm. So I ran, I cried, went all the way home. See? And my mother asked me, she said, boy, what's wrong with you? I said, what's wrong with you? And I told her what had happened. And she just told me, she said, Lord, boy, I didn't tell you. That's all she said. Now, when I went to school that September, we went to South Pratt School, which was two little duplex houses down by the creek. Up in Pratt was this brick school where the white kids go. Well, naturally, Charles and Nick and Joe and all of them went up in Pratt. I went down there. So I came home again. And I told my mother, I said, Charles and Nick, they don't go to school. Because they were in school today. And then she told me, she said, boy, you go where I sent you. And she said, you didn't question your parents.
Right.
See, the discipline, that's what I say. Discipline then was different from discipline today.
Yeah. And you can tell the difference in the behavior.
Yeah, you didn't question your parents. You accepted whatever they said. I'll show you how history repeats itself. In 62 or 63, my older sister who lived in Ohio, she came home to Birmingham on the train. I carried my baby sister there, rode to the train station with my mother to meet her. The train was 45 minutes late. So we went up, as we're going up on the platform there. We was coming back down the steps. She skips down the steps, skip, and she wasn't, oh, I guess, Tina then was about 5, 6, maybe 1 or 6 years old. She hops down the steps, skip. She goes into the white side of the waiting room and she sits down. See? Now, what am I to tell her?
See? Did you tell her?
I didn't tell her. I did it just like my mama did me. I went in there and I sat down beside her. And, you know, that's where the people grabbed and they grumbled, they got up off the bench and they said, so what? So see, then it came to me what to say to her.
What'd you say?
I said, Tina, let's go around there and see what my dear doing. I ain't told her that you was on in the white. She said, my mama didn't tell me nothing about the black and white then. And that's what I said. Birmingham whether, you know, contrary to what they say or what is written.
Really? Because I thought that
you
that
go
was
through
one of the most
Birmingham right now, I can show you the neighborhood. You find whites living right here, blacks living next door. You find whites on the back, blacks on the black. You find it's according to the location. It being an industrial town, and over there at Sloss Run is where we perform or do some of it. There were some quarters. It's you might say entity, manufacturing entity, had its own living quarters. Mm-hmm. So Sloss had quarters, Republic had quarters, U.S. Steel had quarters. It wasn't U.S. Steel then, but it was PCI, Tennessee Coal and Iron Railroad, had quarters all everywhere.
So the quarters weren't integrated?
Huh? Yeah. See, you might have two black persons staying in this house, you might have two white persons. Like I said, the company was interested in production. So if they had a vacant house, they hired an employee and they had a vacant house. Okay, where is the house? The house is between two black families. If you want to work for the company and you need the job, you get in that house there. They assign you to that house. Well, you didn't pay, I think what they put in it was about $4 a month or $2 a month, something like that.
$4 a month?
Yeah.
And I thought you was working.
Well, you can even in 47, when I started working on the railroad, I graduated in high school on Friday night, and I started working on the railroad on Monday morning.
Yeah, I lived in the house.
And I was 17 years old, but you take even then, we made 44 cents an hour. Yeah, 44 cents an hour.
$5 a month. And you could pay for it by a week.
When I started?
Yep.
Oh man, that was more money I had seen. I thought I was in the
book.
61 cents an hour.
Huh?
I'm making 61 cents an hour.
And they got a heap of raises then.
What year that was?
44, 45.
When
the Titanic sunk.
You get to be there 2 years to get a 2 cent raise.
I was making 25 cents a day at that big sawmill.
In a big sawmill.
$1.50 a week, but you know what I could do? I get that $1.50 and feed all us out there.
Oh, yeah, man.
Man, you could get 2 cents worth of rice, yeah. 3 cents worth of bacon.
And let me tell you,
wait a minute, I want to ask y'all about,
right.
You said when World War II was over, they paid somebody something?
World War I.
World War I.
They paid a bonus.
World War I.
They paid a bonus.
They paid a bonus?
Yeah.
They paid a bonus.
But they paid
the head block said he's getting $1.10
about $300 or so. Yeah. But they paid in 1937. Boy, that was a heap of money.
Yeah, 10 cents a day.
Oh, man.
You're nearly about rich.
I know, that's right.
But the thing about it, you got the little money, but you could do something with it.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Now, like I tell people, I hobo from Lackey 1 in New York to New York City. And I got to Jersey City and didn't have 3 cents to come across the ferry from Jersey to New York. So a young man brought me and my buddy across. He stopped at 23rd Street. He said, well, I don't get paid on like we do down home on Saturday, get paid on Monday. He told her, hot dog man said, get him 2 hot dogs apiece all the way. Well, now, when you make a hot way all the way, and when one mouth could bite that, that's my mother-in-law mouth. See, my mother-in-law mouth was so big, she could whisper in her own air. And he put them 4 hot dogs all the way, and we got, each one of them got 2 pints of root beer. He handed the man a quarter, the man handed him a nickel. He said, it's 5 cents apiece. Now, you know what you could do in 1932? What you got for $10? Now, what you got for $1, you can't get enough for 10.
No way.
You can get 20 hot dogs all the way for $1 and 20 pints of root beer. Now, what one hot dog cost you now?
$1.
If you in a good place.
Let me tell you something. My mama sent us to the store. My daddy made a wagon. It's a double harness wagon. And I had German Shepherd dog.
Uh-huh.
That was a double team wagon. It was about as long as this table. He made the harness and all. And the two dogs pulled the wagon. My sister and I were getting in the wagon. My mother gave us the note to go to the commissary, that's the company store, see, and give us $2. Mm-hmm. And with that note, you go to the commissary, and the wagon is full when you come out.
Yeah.
I'm sitting up here.
That's right.
With the harnesses in my hand, the ropes in my hand to guide the dogs. And we did that, I guess, for about 6 months. The last one day, we were coming home, and I got almost home, man. Close to that tent over yonder. And a cat come across them dogs. Them dogs empty out the wagon, tow the wagon up and everything. And that's what he ended up sending us to the commissary with that. And no, he had trained those dogs the same as you trained two horses.
Messed up $2.
We went to New York, man. And then the New Yorkers didn't
and
know.
And that was just like messing up $200.
We go to one of them Jews, fish store, the wagon was on that wide.
See, you made Please everything. Me. That's where you couldn't.
I walked in there looking sad with a dime.
You made everything.
Would you
and
please
you take a wheel and you take a,
fish head from
you take
a, cat,
a piece of iron, you make
he
the axle.
He a little group of fish heads throw in there. He said, well, here,
your blacksmith thought
here's a penny onion, you know, to
and you made the hundred. Oh, he was hitched up there like any dog hitched up there like any
and get 2 pounds of rice for a nickel.
You know, it's a blacksmith.
Go to the bigger shop and get 2 loaves of day-old bread for a nickel.
I saw some.
Man, we get them put on a pot. So moonshine was 15 cent a half. 25 cents a pint.
That's right.
And man, we get a dollar.
We get a minute half pint.
We live all day, like.
Well, you brother, know, I made a song.
Then was the good old days.
By that time, said nickel was for me.
Yeah.
Dime was for Lord. Mm-hmm. I would have got more, but the time is too hard.
That's right.
But you take.
You want to eat?
If you went
you
got
want
you.
Something to eat?
A dime of pork chops,
a
nickel of sugar, and you take a dime of meal,
like a nickel of anything,
10 cents of flour. So you had your whole wagon thrown in the box.
Yeah. Nickel of anything.
Yeah, three bunches of greens for a nickel.
They got some collard greens and
broccoli. They got some good southern cooking over there.
What's over there?
But also, my mother was down. She give you that $2. And see, it was practical mathematics. You had to learn how to count.
Did you eat? Did you eat?
I'm going to hold over yonder and take a look at
you want to eat?
Stand over yonder.
Well, he's going to get this golf cart here, and we're going to ride over here and over here and see what they got to eat. How about that?
Okay.
You ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's all get the car. Watch out for him. Elder not going to walk around over here.
Oops, I'm sorry. You ate?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you eat?
Yeah, I didn't know.
Okay. You ate?
Bring
you
some.
Yeah, I know. You did? Okay, we're going to go over here and get him something to eat.
Okay.
Then we'll continue our meeting when we get back.
All right.